I want to ask you a question, and I would like a response. And again, I beg for your prayers. I want to ask you, who has a GPS in this audience tonight? In either your car or portable or whatever. Now then, when you have one of those, have you ever been going down the road and all of a sudden you're going down a road and it makes a statement something like that, make a U-turn? And if you don't make a U-turn, it quickly tells you, make a U-turn again. You're going the wrong way, according to it, and it wants your help. It wants you to turn around. It wants you to get on the right street, the right road, the right way. It wants you to do that. Now then, a GPS is not always right. I wonder how many hands I'd see tonight that would make the statement that, no, it wasn't just quite right. It led me a little off or a little wrong. Dumped me out in the middle of the King Ranch where the offices were supposed to be, and you're 12 miles from the offices and you're looking all around and there ain't nothing there, but the GPS says it's supposed to be there. Well, these kind of things do happen. Does God have a GPS, so to speak? Yes, he does. And have you ever heard him make a statement to make a U-turn? Has he ever told you it's time to turn now? You've drifted a little bit. You've done this, you've done that. And he is trying to get your attention and say, it's time to make a U-turn. Let's turn around. Let's not keep going the way we're going. Now listen, if we make a mistake and go down the wrong street, as long as we're not going down a one-way street backwards and going to have a head on, so to speak, the bottom line is you can make and go and do. One man told me one time that he had was gone to sleep and they was going on I-40 east-west. I don't remember if he's coming to Oklahoma or going back to California, but he's going one way or the other. And he was taking a nap, and his wife or his niece or somebody in the car got under, was driving, and he woke up after a while, and he noticed the road didn't feel right. And so he looks around, and he goes, this ain't the right road. Where are you all at? Well, we're so-and-so and so-and-so. He said, oh, no, you're not. Yes, we are. No, you're not. He said, you somehow have got off the I-40 and you're headed straight north. They went almost 100 miles one way out of their way and had to turn around and come back. Now, folks, if you do that, it's going to cost you a little time and a little gas, but that's not bad. But when you're spiritually speaking, when you're going miles and miles, so to speak, out of your way, when you're not doing the right thing and God's saying, make a U-turn, make a U-turn, make a U-turn, and he does it day and night, and you're not doing it, I'm going to tell you somewhere down the road, you're going to get in trouble. And it's going to cost you dearly. And I'm not talking about just a few dollars in gas or a few dollars as far as expense on the car, but the bottom line is, if you do not do the U-turn that God is requesting you to do, there's going to be a disaster come, and that disaster is going to be bad. Let's go to the Job, the 33rd chapter, please. Make a U-turn. Make a U-turn. 33rd Job and about the 14th verse. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and he sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen. His bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Praise God. His flesh shall be fresher than the child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he'll be favorable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy, and he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men, and if he say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profiteth me not, he will deliver his soul from going down in the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man. Listen tonight. There is something God is trying to do. He is trying to make men make a U-turn. He is trying to take them from going down the Broadway and turn them around and translate them from death into life. He is trying to get them in the place where he wants them to be. Listen, folks, we wasn't born to serve ourselves. We were born to serve God. We were born to be a child of God. We were born to do the things that God wants us to do. But so many people are interested in their own selves, serving their own selves, their own lusts, their own ways, their own powers. That's what man is interested in. But God tonight has got a GPS, and he wants you to turn around. He wants you to make a U-turn, that he may withdraw man. Listen, folks, man has got themselves into more trouble because of the going down the way that they want to go. Not the way God wants them to go, but the way man wants to go. And they're going down that way, and they keep going, and they keep going, and they keep going. And God is saying, make a U-turn. Brother Sammons had a vision one time. In this vision, he said he saw the Broadway. He was going down the side of the Broadway. He said he could see a chasm, if I remember right, open wide. And he said people were falling off into that chasm. He said there that he could hear them screaming and moaning and so forth. He said the crowd was so heavy and so forth that people would get up to the edge and they would try to pull back, but they couldn't. They would just plunge right off into that place. He was going at the side of that, and he was doing like this. Turn around, turn around, turn around. He was doing everything he could do to stop them from going off into that horrible place. Listen tonight. God's wanting people to make a U-turn because there is a hellfire. There is a damnation. There is a wrong way, a broad way, a bad way. And the Lord is doing everything he can to turn people off of that way and to translate them from death into life and make a saint out of them. Praise God. Make a U-turn tonight. He said there, God speaketh once, yea, twice. Yet man perceiveth it not. He's in a dream. He's in a vision of the night. When deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed, then he opened the ears of men. I'm going to tell you tonight, we don't have any idea all the dealings that God does with mankind. God works all hours of the day and night. He talks, and many times he does it at night. Many times when people are resting and so forth. Oh, tonight, he gives visions, he gives dreams, he talks to them. There was a person that was out on a dance floor. This has been many, many, many years ago, and they were out on that dance floor, and the Lord asked them point blank, what are you doing here? Make a U-turn. What good is it for you to be on a dance floor? What good is it you to be out here drinking and driving and doing the things you're doing? Make a U-turn. It's time to turn around. It's time to quit the sin business. That person did eventually quit. They did make a U-turn. They did get saved. But tonight, the Lord is after that he may withdraw man from his purpose. The purpose of sin, the purpose of corruption, the purpose of things that is doing man so much damage and so much bad in his life and heart and soul and mind. The Lord is doing everything he can to withdraw man from that. Because he did not create man to serve himself. to do the things that he wants to do. He created him to serve God. All right, let's go to Genesis, the sixth chapter. Genesis, the sixth chapter, third verse, please. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, 6:3, and that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that ever imaginations of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. It repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Then it goes on down here in the 11th verse. It said, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them from the earth. And then he goes on and he tells Noah what he wants to do. I want you to build a boat. Make an ark. I want you to make it. And he give all the dimensions and so forth. And that's what, I don't want to get into all that part of it. But the bottom line was, God had a man. His name was Noah. He was a man that was said in the New Testament, 2 Peter 2:5. It brings out the point. He was a man of righteousness, a preacher of righteousness, I believe it said. Now then, God said, I'm going to destroy them. And yet he put a man here. This man, no doubt, was mocked, made fun of, and so forth for 100 and something years. But the bottom line was, do you not think that Noah preached righteousness? In other words, he tried to get those people to turn around. He tried to get their attention. He tried to tell them that you need to serve God. However he done it, I don't really know the bottom line. But he let them know, listen, what you're doing is wrong. God has visited me. He's going to destroy this earth. He's going to wrap it up. He's going to do this, this, and this. And if you don't turn around, it's going to happen, so to speak. Do you realize that from 1881 to now is about, what, 134 years? I may be a little off on that. But the bottom line is God has had preachers of righteousness crying out saying you all need to make a U-turn for over 100 and something years. It's time to turn around. God has blessed the church of God of Evening Light. He has blessed it. He's anointed it. He's given it power. He's given it authority. He's given it everything. There have been some most glorious meetings that we as a body have had. Healings, deliverances, and so forth down through the years of crying out and God working and blessing down through the years. Well, Noah, he was trying to do everything he could do just like we are today. Listen, folks, we're in the end time. Listen, the preaching, there have been such powerful messages go across, and yet the response is so little anymore. We're getting down to the end. We're getting into the dangerous time. Perilous times. That also means dangerous times. Now then, the Lord was doing everything he could do. Or Noah. No, I better change that a little bit. Noah was doing everything he could do. There's a child's book. In this book, there's a scene. And in this scene is the animals that are coming. You see the ark over here. I don't remember where Noah's at in this particular picture. But the animals are coming two by two and so forth. They're coming up and there's nobody leading them. There's nobody guiding them. They're just coming. They make a right turn and they head right to the ark. and they start filing into the ark, two by two. And there's a man standing there, and in this picture, this man is looking and pointing, and you can see the horror on his face. Realization is setting in. Realization, Noah's been telling them down through the years, there's going to be a flood. This boat, this ark is going to float. Their end of flesh is coming. And so these men have been told this and told this and told this and told this down through the years. And now then they're seeing these animals, the angels, the power of God is leading them right in. Noah's nowhere as far as the animal. I don't remember. Maybe he's up by the door. But anyway, he's there if I remember right. But the bottom line is the realization of the fact is that what he has told them is beginning to see. The look on his face. I wish I had that picture. I could post it right up here and blow it up. The horror. The realization. I've looked at it different times reading this story to my daughters many years ago. And it touches me. For the very fact is, they're seeing something. Listen, folks. Don't wait to see and come to the realization that what you have done is now fixing to pay you a bad dividend. You need to make a U-turn now. You need to stop now. You need to turn around now. Because the bottom line is, the Bible said, the wages of sin is death. And if you do not follow, if you do follow the wages of sin, I'm going to tell you there's going to come a realization someday that I'm in trouble. The Twin Towers in New York City, when they went down, what do you think was the expression on those people's faces when they made that turn in that big jet, or the two big jets, and they made that turn, and you can see out those windows, and you can see and you can look, and I don't know exactly how things were going particularly, but I've wondered the expression on those people's faces when they looked and they saw. They was headed right for those buildings and fixing to crash right into them. Listen, folks, the very thought that they would not get out of there alive had to have crossed their mind. They had to see destruction right ahead of them. They had to see death. There's no telling what they saw. Maybe God had been talking to him on that plane. Make a U-turn. Make a U-turn. It's time to turn around. It's time to quit. And they turned him down for one last time. And now then the Twin Towers is right in front of them. Do you realize that one of those planes went totally through that building? The nose of that thing came out. I think, well, the jet engine went totally through and went out the other side. Oh, tonight, God is saying, make a U-turn. Noah done, I would say, everything he could do. And the rain started. And don't you know the realization set in? Listen, don't let the realization come too late. Take it now. Think now. Open your minds now. Consider now that the wages of sin is death. I'm facing a devil's hell if I don't make a U-turn. Let's go to Acts 24:22. A very popular story, so to speak. I don't think this is fresh water, but I could be wrong. Could somebody get me a fresh glass, please? 24 and 22 of the good book of Acts. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matters. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way. For this time, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. He hoped also that money should be given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Portius Festus came unto Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. This is a sad story. Felix, with his wife Drusilla, sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Now, folks, Paul didn't pat this man on the back. He didn't tell him how good a leader he was. He didn't tell him, you're doing everything right. This man was an outright adulterer. He took another man's wife, if I understand it right, just flat took her away from him and married her. He was living in adultery. And the temperance here, that's what it's dealing with. It's not dealing with the fact of maybe not drinking. It's dealing of the appetite of the fleshly body that this man is doing over and over and over. Righteousness. If I remember right in studying on this, Felix's reign as a leader was not a good reign. He was not a good leader. He was oppressive and so forth. He did not do things the right way. And then judgment. Judgment to come. He dealt with him right down to the end. Thank you, sir. Boy, this is good. It's got ice in it. You're doing me all right, nephew. So Paul didn't pull no punches here. He got down. I admire what Paul done in these scriptures. He did not wishy-wash around. He was willing to stay down and preach the truth and tell this man that he was in trouble, he was going to hell, he was going to have to give his wife. He didn't back up. He told him the very truth, folks. Make a U-turn, Felix. Make a U-turn. It's time to stop the sin business. It's time to do the things you need to do. And Felix trembled and answered, go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Listen, folks, we have no record that that man ever called him back. We have no record that this man got saved. I hope he did. But the bottom line was, Paul told him, make a U-turn. Paul told him, it's time to quit. Paul told him the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But this man did not back up. He went ahead and done the very thing he said he wanted to do. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And the end of this man was not pretty. It was not pretty. Let's go to the book of Jonah. Now, here's a unique case, and this has been used. It has been used so much down through the years. But the Lord spoke to Jonah in 1:1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Well, then Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them from Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now then, I have a question. Do you think the Lord told Jonah to make a U-turn? Before he launched out, do you think the Lord said, Jonah, you're not doing right. I called you to go here. I didn't call you to go over there. Jonah, I could be wrong, folks, but I dare say the Lord talked to Jonah and give him a strong dealing with before he ever launched out of that place, before he ever went on his way. I believe the Lord done that to get Jonah to do the thing that he wanted him to do, but Jonah didn't do it, and Jonah got into real trouble, did he not? And he went on down, and you know the story. They threw him overboard. And it said the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah prayed unto the Lord, 2:1, to the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep. In the midst of the seas of floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed round about. Round about, the weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted, and within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee. With the voice of thanksgiving, I'll pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now then, Jonah, the Lord had great mercy on Jonah. There's a lot of people that the Lord has told them to make a U-turn, that the Lord's had mercy on them. He's talked to them, he's dealt with them, he's worked with them, he's bore with them for years, but he's had a lot of mercy on them. He's told them, make a U-turn over and over, and they didn't do it. But the Lord still has mercy on them. Jonah was told, I believe, I could be wrong, but the Lord talked to him and dealt with him before he ever got out there into the sea. The Lord knew what was going to happen. He sent the storm. He got things stirred up. He prepared the great fish for Jonah. They threw him overboard, and he went, and that whale or whatever it was swallowed him up. How many of you would like to be in his place tonight? How many of you have a problem with claustrophobia? How many of you want to get the seaweed wrapped around your head? How many of you want to go down to the depths of the sea? Do you realize that jet that just crashed, the sonar said it's lying on the bottom? It went right on down. Oh, tonight, Jonah was in a mess. Jonah was in a mess. And then he made a U-turn. His attitude, his everything began to make a U-turn, began to thinking, I'm in trouble. The Lord told me to do it. I wouldn't do it. I'm down at the bottom. The bars around me, the reeds are wrapped around my head. It smells in here. Everything's bad. It's dark. It's corrupt. It's everything that it shouldn't be. I'm down there in the bottom and I need help. And he has to come to the place that he's got to admit salvation is of the Lord. Listen tonight, folks. You're going to have to come to that place. I don't care where you're at or what you're doing. When God has called you to make a U-turn, called you to turn around, called you to do what you ought to do, you're going to have to come to the place. You're going to have to make a U-turn, so to speak, in your mind. You're going to have to make a U-turn to God. You're going to have to reach out to him in every way that you can. And then you're going to have to say salvation is of the Lord. If you don't, you'll never get out of the mess. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Now, I don't know about you, but I figure once he hit land, he wasn't looking back. I figure he took off, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. The Lord took, and he had a double U-turn right here, because the king began to listen. Jonah listened, and he responded. Jonah went and began to preach, began to cry, began to tell them that God is going to destroy that city. He laid it out. He didn't back up a bit. He told them what was going to happen. And consequently, the king began to listen. The people began to listen. And they got to thinking, I need to make a U-turn. God has given me one last call. Listen And folks, tonight, there's a lot of people that have stepped out in eternity that God has given one last call, and they passed on and didn't make a U-turn. But here we are. Jonah's preaching, and they're listening, and things is beginning to happen because God. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Oh, tonight, God wants you to make a U-turn where you can help others to make a U-turn. God wants you to be a blessing to other people. To be able to help other people, to lead, to guide, to direct. Listen, folks, tonight, no matter what the situation, do you realize that God has talked to a lot of people about a wrong attitude? He has tried to get them to make a U-turn on a wrong attitude. Do you know that there is probably thousands of people tonight that have been killed because of a wrong attitude? Do you realize there's multitudes of people in prison and jail because of one wrong attitude? That started out at one place and went to the next and got worse to the point that it actually began to commit a crime. There is people tonight that have a wrong attitude. One man made the statement one time, well, he made it more than one time. He said they need an attitude adjustment. I'm going to say they need a U-turn on their attitude. The Lord has dealt with a lot of people that have begun to want to run with the wrong crowd. And maybe I'm not saying jump in. Young people tonight, I want to beg you, be careful who you do with. Go with the places you go. I want to beg you, be careful. What does it say there? Evil communications corrupt good manners. You can have all good right. There was a man one time on a job, and the Lord spoke to me one night, and he told me, he said, you can never help that man. There was three of us, I believe, or four of us working with him that night. We was working, we talked with him, we dealt with him, we gave him scripture. All of us down, I'm talking about just one person. We all worked with him, and we got through the night, and at the end of the night, we hadn't moved him one bit. He wasn't interested in changing his way or making a U-turn. I'm going to tell you tonight, you better be real careful who you keep company with, because unless God is helping them to make a U-turn, you possibly will not be able to do them much good. You can give them scripture. I hope you see what I'm saying here. There's people tonight that is in Babylon. There's people tonight that's in sin. There's people tonight that you may not be able to have much of a dealing with or working with. And so consequently, the best thing for you to do is stay with the young people of the church of God and not get involved with them and begin to run with the wrong crowd. A wrong place. There is people tonight that are going to the wrong places. They should never, never, never go to some of these places. They need to stay away from them. They need to leave them alone. Bars. Casinos. One lawyer made a statement in the town of Shawnee. He said he told a businessman, you would be shocked if you knew what the gambling was doing to this town. You can go by those casinos at 12 and 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning, and you can see cars out there, and I'm not talking about 2 or 3 neither. I'm talking about a number. And so consequently, the best thing to do is just leave those places alone. The Lord begins to talk. If a person considers, if a person weighs, and I'm talking about some young people or whatever, they think about, well, it'd be all right to go here. It'd be all right to go there. It'd be all right to go here. And the Lord said, make a U-turn in your mind. Don't do that. Leave that place alone. Don't go there. There's a reason for doing that. God is trying to keep you from getting into a sin, into a way. Listen, folks, gambling is extremely addictive tonight. It's not something that is just something you can pick up and lay down with no problem. It's addictive. It is destroying men's souls and marriages and homes. It's causing people to not be able to eat because the money is not there. It's in the gambling machines or on the tables or whatever's in them places. And it's there and it's not in the bank account where mama can go buy the food. Because daddy's out gambling. Beer halls. Bowling alleys. The best thing to do is leave these kind of places alone. And people think, well, I go out and do a little bit of this. And the Lord says, make a U-turn. Make a U-turn. A wrong job. There's a lot of jobs out there that's good jobs. You want to stay away from any wrong job. Wrong dress. Fashions. There are some people that have two closets. They have the clothes in the closet they wear to work, and they got the clothes in the closet they wear to church. And I got news for you, they ain't the same, neither. You don't want a closet like that. You want all the same type of clothes. That's modest and decent. Wrong songs. Any of you like country and western?
It's all right. I can listen to that.
When they're talking about adultery, when they're talking about loose living, when they're talking about the bars and the drinking places, the innuendos that they're laying out there before you that the devil can take and make you go mad, if that's something you ought to listen to, no. I mentioned country because in a lot of ways it's a lot easier than rap and rock and roll and all of that. But the bottom line is, leave the wrong songs alone. A wrong vehicle. Now, Brother Carl, some people get themselves tied up too far in debt when they could have bought one much cheaper and could have been out of debt. And besides this, it's wise to pray about the vehicles you buy anyway. Let the Lord help you make a decision on a vehicle. A wrong boy or a wrong girl? You can't pray too much about the person you marry. It means something to have a godly companion. It means something to be able to have one that can help you and work with you and bless you in every way. You need to pray. You need to fast and pray. You need to look to God. You need to be led of the Spirit of God. If you don't know how to be led of the Spirit of God, you better leave the boys and girls alone till you can know how to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? You get a little close. I love you, or I wouldn't say this kind of stuff. A wrong business adventure. Wrong entertainment. God is telling people by the thousands to make U-turns on this kind of stuff. To leave it alone. To stay away from it. To not have anything to do with it. I could be wrong, but I dare say that he talks to numbers of people in casinos on a very regular basis. The ball games, the casinos, the ball games, the pool halls and places like that, I dare say the Lord calls and works and make a U-turn. Get out of here. Don't get involved in this kind of stuff. Well, it's not that big a deal. Yes, it is. Let's go to Acts, the 22nd chapter with Paul. 22nd chapter of the good book of Acts, 3rd verse. I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come up nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell into the ground. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto him, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Arise, go unto Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus, and one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dealt there, came unto me and stood and said to him, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. Then he said, The God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be a witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, Saul was one bad man. Didn't he say in one place he was the chief of sinners? I believe he did. He said he was the chief of sinners. Paul didn't say he was a goody-goody. He said he was a bad man. He was persecuting the saints. He was doing the things, putting them in jail. He was, in so many words, involved in the death of some of them, so to speak. Stephen would be one of them. He was there, I believe, when Stephen was stoned. There was things that Paul was doing was not good, not right, was outright sin, was a corruptness there. And the Lord come along and dealt with him. And in so many words, the Lord told Saul, you need to make a U-turn. You need to stop what you're doing. You need to turn around. You need to run for your life. Well, who art thou, Lord? Well, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecuted. I'm the one that you're tearing up, so to speak. I'm the one of the ones that you're killing, that you're persecuting, you're throwing in jail. All of this, I'm the one. And you're coming against the mighty Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Saul made a U-turn, didn't he? He didn't wait 30 years to do it. He made an immediate U-turn. Listen, folks, tonight, the faster the U-turn, the better off you're going to be. There is people that the Lord, I know of a case many, many years ago where the Lord began to talk to a man. It took him 19 years to make that U-turn. But the man heard a message. God dealt with that message down through the years and worked with him, and he finally made the U-turn, but it took him 19 years to do it. Listen, folks, I want to beg you, don't go on. Don't keep putting off. Don't keep putting down. Don't say, well, I'm young. I've got plenty of years. I'm going to do it when I retire. I'm just middle-aged. It's all right. I can do the little things I'm doing. Listen, I want to beg you tonight, make a U-turn now. Do like Saul. Don't keep waiting. Don't keep putting it off. Do it now. He made a U-turn. And Paul was a great blessing to souls. Has Paul not been a blessing to everybody in this building tonight? Of the words of God that he's written, of the things he's done, the places he went, the example he gave, the blessings, the courage, the uplifting that Paul done. Paul's been a great blessing. But Paul wouldn't have been that if he hadn't made a U-turn. Listen, folks, tonight you can be a blessing. You can be something that God can use. But you're going to have to make a U-turn. Paul, or Saul, however you want to say it, made a quick U-turn. What do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do? What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to him, arise and go unto Damascus, and there it shall be told thee. Now he didn't put him in the belly of a whale. Jonah went down to the depths. Paul saw a great light. God spoke to him in such a way that he heard it without he knew what was going on. He had no doubt in his mind who was dealing with him, so to speak. God told him point blank, I'm Jesus of Nazareth whom thou persecuted. What do you want me to do, Lord? A quick U-turn. He's already beginning to turn around. He's already beginning to want to do exactly what God wants him to do. I want to beg you tonight, it's time to begin to make a U-turn in your mind. It's time to begin to make a U-turn in every way and say, Lord, what do you want me to do tonight? Listen, folks, today there are too many people that's riding the fence. Today there are too many people unsanctified that never been filled with the Holy Ghost. There are too many people that want to just kind of tamp around the corner, so to speak, or ride the fence, or have you ever said. There are too many people that way. And the Lord's calling tonight saying, make a U-turn. Let's start out 2015 different. Let's don't keep just tabbling around. Let's get down to business. Let's get serious. Let's say, I want to do what God would have me to do tonight. That's what Paul's interest was. I wonder how much Paul was dealt with. Reckon the Lord talked to him before this point right here, so to speak. Oh, tonight, the Lord is talking. He's been talking in this meeting. Has he not been talking before this? There was a person that used to be in this congregation many years ago. And they made a testimony one time. They said that God took away my appetite and my sleep. They couldn't sleep and they couldn't eat. They flat went that way. I don't remember how many days it was, but it got their attention. Listen, the Lord does what he needs to do with every individual. But there's not very many Pauls. There's not very many Jonas. But the bottom line is Paul, God is calling you to make a U-turn. I want to plead with you to do that tonight. He's asking. He's calling. Oh, God is in the business of turning souls from right, from wrong to right. He wants to bring you to the place where he wants you to be. He wants to use you. He wants to bless you. He wants to lift you up. He wants to inspire you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to fill you with the word of God. He wants to bless you. But there is too many people that want to keep going on their own way. All right, let's finish up in Luke, the 15th chapter. Luke 15:11. The prodigal son. Said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields, his fields, to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk under the that the Lord help me to read that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise, and I'll go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son that was dead is alive again, and was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. This young man went to the bottom of the barrel. You can't get any lower, really, at that time than where he had gone to. He had gone as low as he could go, as bad as he could be. I want to take my money, and I want my goods, and I want to go do what I want to do. Father give it to him. He divided their living. Not many days after, the youngest son gathered together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. There is too many people that is wasting their substance tonight in riotous living. And I'm not totally talking about money here. I'm talking about their heart and their mind. They're destroying themselves. They're doing it over and over and over. Tonight will be one of the biggest merrymaking nights of probably the whole year. And there's thousands of people that's going to be stoned, that's going to be drunk, that's going to be out there doing things that they shouldn't do, all in the name of fun and so forth. And the bottom line is the Lord saying, make a U-turn, and they're not willing to do it. And they've gone out there and they've wasted. Listen, folks, tonight you can't be a souls when you're wasted. You need to make a U-turn. Is your attitude wrong? Have you been doing things behind mama's back or daddy's back that they don't know anything about? Pastor don't know it. Brother and sister don't know it. You've been slipping and doing things. The Lord's saying, make a U-turn tonight. He went down as low as he could go. And when he came to himself, it's time to come to ourselves tonight. It's time to consider and think. Brother Leslie, he said many, many times that he had a pretty girlfriend and he'd give her up. He was doing this and he'd give it up. He was doing that and he'd give it up. Listen tonight. You're going to have to come to yourself and be willing to give up the things that needs to be given up. And the Lord's calling, make a U-turn. It's time to stop. It's time to turn around. It's time to quit doing the things that you're doing. Too many people flat don't want to quit the sin business. But listen tonight. Was it, Moses over here in Hebrews, 11th chapter? He said, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, 11:24 of good book of Hebrews, come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Listen, folks, tonight, there could be some pleasures out there. I guess there is some pleasures out there in sin. But the bottom line, it's only for a season. The next morning you wake up, if you've gone out and drunk all night, there is a hangover to deal with. You go out and do drugs, there is the deals to deal with. You go out and gamble, you're going to come to the realization that the money is gone. You need to make a U-turn. There's people that has gone on and gone on. I'm going to tell you, if there's someone here or someone's here that has an attitude that needs to change, it needs to change now. Because the farther you go, the worse it gets. Those attitudes get larger and bigger. One minister stood in the old building over there, and he made a statement, said an attitude will send you to hell. And he'll do it too. A lot of people get attitudes that they should not have. It's time to produce forgiveness. It's time to forgive, to turn loose, to give up the things that need to be done tonight, that need to be cleared tonight, that need to be made right tonight. There was a meeting one time. The Lord was blessed in that meeting. This has been a number of years ago. I've heard the story. And the Lord was blessing, and the Lord was working and so forth. And people started making U-turns. They started changing. And the people in town started noticing it. People were paying their debts. People were taking things back that they had stolen. People were making the change that needed to be changed. And one businessman said to another, said, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, I don't really know, but I know there's a revival meeting going on down there, and something must be happening." Listen tonight. The way that you need to do is make a U-turn and start doing the things you need to do. This man came to himself. "And how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I wish tonight that you would see the good things." Praise God. It's time to see the bread on Father's table, to see the steaks on Father's table. It's time to see the good things that God has got spread out there. And look at the mess that you're eating, the things you're doing, the things you're involved with. And you need to see the Father's table that is filled and the statements going, making you turn and come and die. Praise God. Listen tonight. It's time to run for your life. It's time to surrender. It's time to turn around. The attitudes need to go. I don't know why I keep getting on this, but there's attitudes out there that need to be changed tonight. There's little things that people are doing under the table and behind the doors and so forth. There is so much corruption done below the table, so to speak. And what I mean by that, there is money changed under the table by the thousands every day. And Uncle Sam will never see it. Don't know a thing about it. They hide money. They put it in foreign accounts. There's all kind of things that the Lord is crying out. Make a U-turn. Stop doing what you're doing. It's time to change. It's time to turn around, because the end of that is death. He came to himself. Have you come to yourself yet? Are you looking at what you're doing and where you're going? It's time to look. It's time to examine. It's time to check it out. Let's not look at everybody else. We look at ourselves. Let's look at us and say, "Hey, I'm the one in the wrong. I'm the one that needs help." Everybody wants to say, "Well, it's them, or it's them, or it's them, or it's them." No, no, let's look at ourselves. I'm the one that's slipping around. I'm the one that's doing things I shouldn't be doing. I'm the one that's got the wrong attitude. I'm the one that's been going down there to the pool hall and the bowling alleys, and Mom and Daddy don't know anything about it. There was a old couple, a preacher and his wife. And they was having some financial difficulties, and people was helping. Now, this wasn't among us. This was another, I don't even know who he was with. I don't remember if I was told. But anyway, come to find out, this man had a nephew or somebody that happened to see his wife. Now, this is a preacher and his wife, and this wife was going to the gambling halls and spending the money, and he didn't even know what she was doing. And so the son or whoever come to him and said, "You know what your wife's doing?" Now, this woman's up in years. I'm not talking about somebody in their 20s. I'm talking about somebody in their 70s, or I think in their 80s, maybe like 85. And this was a second marriage for both of them, if I remember right. And the bottom line was, he said, "No, what's she doing? She's down at the gambling hall." "You're kidding." "No, I'm serious. Your wife is gambling away your money that people are helping you and giving you. Instead of the bills getting paid, she's gambling into those machines." I got news for you. He made a quick U-turn and started dealing with the problem almost instantly. He decided, "Hey, I need to find out what's going on," and he did. Listen tonight, we need to do it instantly when he came to himself. Oh, it's time to look, it's time to examine, it's time to say, "Lord, search me, Lord, check me, Lord, deal with me. I need help." Where are we at tonight? Where are we at tonight? Let's stand, have a number. Make a U-turn. The Lord wants to make some U-turns, wants people to make some U-turns. You remember the bridge on I-40, what, 10 years ago that the boat hit, caused it to collapse, and this was early morning or late evening or whatever. The people was coming down. If I'm not mistaken, there were people trying to stop them cars. And the people just kept plunging off, plunging off, plunging off. Several died. I think even maybe a semi went in. Listen, folks, tonight, the Lord, that GPS, if you was about to plunge off of something, that GPS would be telling you, make a U-turn. The Lord's telling you before you plunge off into some deeper stuff, make a U-turn.